This season, we're talking about the it factor, the toolbox of attributes beyond your skills, drills, and stats.
Whether you're looking to be a standout recruit, a leader on your team, or be an influence beyond your athletic career, these topics will help you become the best athlete and person you can be.
We're going deep to discuss how to grow in virtue and strength, ultimately becoming a fierce athlete.
Welcome, everybody, back to the Fierce Athlete Podcast. I am Sam Kelly, and I am joined by my co-hosts, Danae Weaver and Angelina Hayes. And I'm just super excited for this week as we continue to unpack the different tools that will set us apart as athletes. Maybe the skills that aren't physical. It's not something that you're out there on the practice field practicing every day, but their choices, their mental skills, their virtuous skills that have a deep impact on how we approach sport and how we approach life. And I love today's, we kind of started off with different internal things. And I think now we're starting to move into some of those skills that begin to affect those around us, that begin to affect our relationships with others. And today's theme is ownership. Now, Danae, how would you define ownership?
I hear ownership and I just think responsibility. Mm-hmm. Being accountable, having just responsibility for your actions, kind of for what you are supposed to do on the field or as part of a team, kind of taking claim to these are my tasks and I was given them. I am going to take ownership. I'm going to take responsibility of completing them and completing them well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. There's an aspect of authority to them just in terms of having personal ownership of your duties and tasks as an individual and your responsibilities on a team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially, you know, those of us who play a team sport, there are so many different in one play. So I mostly played softball. So in one play, you have a lot of different teammates involved in one out, you know? So I feel like it's just that maturity of regardless of the outcome of the play, you know, you are being responsible for the piece that you played while also not forcing, I guess, your teammate to take ownership, you know? So it's like this maturity of realizing, you know, I'm only, if I'm playing shortstop and I'm fielding the ground ball, well, I'm going to take ownership of fielding the ball well, you know, not making an error in fielding the ball, but also throwing it at my first baseman's chest, you know, and she is going to have to take ownership and responsibility of completing the play. You know, she misses the ball. Like I don't think it's my role, you know, to force her to take ownership of that. I think it's pretty well known if you're a first baseman and you drop the ball that an error was made.
There's definitely this aspect of self-awareness when it comes to ownership of what your role is.
Yeah, and staying in those lanes, right? You know, I think as women, because we're so emotional, oftentimes that self-awareness kind of becomes an absorption of the responsibility and ownership of what is actually somebody else's responsibility.
Right.
You know, it's funny. I've heard this, you know, and obviously the sport that Angel and I are in right now is rowing. And I've heard a coach say this before. They said, if there's a boat of eight men, okay. So eight plus a coxswain, so there's nine people in the boat. And if the coach says something to the boat, like, hey, you're rushing the slide, which is just a term for you're kind of rushing the stroke. Hey, you're rushing the slide. Each guy's response to that will be, oh, it must be the guy behind me. And this coach made the point that with women, if they say, hey, don't rush the slide, each woman will say, oh my gosh, that must be me. I'm letting the whole boat down. And I think it's a great example for one, you need to be specific with people, right? So they know to take proper ownership of whether it's their likelihood to say, oh, that must not be me and not take the ownership, or it must be, it must be me, even if it's not. But I think this ownership kind of lies in the center of, I'm going to do what I can do well and kind of let go of the rest. We can do our best to encourage our teammates, to ask the best out of them, to lead by example. But at the end of the day, each individual person is responsible for their own level of ownership. And I think as women, when we become overly absorbed in each other's emotions or performance, or we put everything on our back, you know, it's like, well, we lost the game because of me, which I think is a common thing that women struggle with, right? They think it's all their fault. I think that is when it kind of becomes disordered.
I would agree. There's definitely that aspect of, at that point, it's like self-reliance, I almost feel like. And self-reliance is something that is, just in the faith world, like...
sinful.
Sinful, yeah. And it just, we are not self-reliant in any aspects of our lives. Like, we have the Lord to rely on, and he's there for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that self, it's so funny how I feel, self-awareness, as, you know, we haven't specifically... tackled, I guess, but it's kind of been this underlying theme in several of these episodes of the podcast, you know, because back to the absorbing kind of your teammates' emotions and, oh my gosh, this is my fault, or that play didn't, you know, turn out the way I wanted it to, but kind of being realistic or being self, like, aware of your piece in it, but kind of relinquishing control of the rest. You know, you can't. And then there's a trust aspect, you know, when you're making plays that involve more teammates. But yeah, kind of that almost setting emotion aside for a second and looking at the reality of, no, I think, you know, in this specific instant, you know, I'm not rushing the slide. Like, you know, so I think I'm, you know, I'm okay. I'm doing my part. Hopefully who our coach is speaking of can be self-aware, can be, you know, take ownership of that criticism and correct it to make our team better.
Well, I think with that, there's that level of, I'm also going to own what I've done wrong, but I'm not going to, like, overly let it affect me. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, I dropped that pass or I missed that shot. Okay. One of my pet peeves is when people become, one, overly apologetic or, like, my bad, or they put their head down. You know, I think there is something to, you know, being aware of the fact that you made a mistake, right? Yeah. I mean, you are aware and they know you're aware.
Especially when it's a very obvious mistake, you know?
You know, but if you're just sitting there like, but I think one, being own the mistake, yes. But what's more important, I think, is owning the response.
Yes.
To the mistake. So are you in that moment when you make a mistake, are you putting your head down? Are you getting frustrated? Are you cursing? Are you saying, my bad? Are you overly apologetic? Or are you making sure the next play, you're right back in it?
Yeah, right? Because that is when your team is kind of learning from your ownership of how you're playing, of your game. And that's just propelling your team in a really great direction, you know? Mm-hmm. And it kind of invites them into doing the same thing.
Yep.
You know, if I'm going to make a mistake and not throw my head down and pout for the next two plays, well, you know, how can my teammate then make a mistake? And they're invited to kind of do the same, take the same ownership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it also creates this culture of trust in terms of if you're taking ownership of your role and responsibilities on the team, your teammates can look to you to, okay, just because I made a mistake doesn't mean it's game ending for all of us. It means that I'm going to take a step up and I'm going to rise above it and I'm going to make it even better the next time. So I think it creates this ability to be able to make a mistake and grow from it for everybody.
Well, and so if you have a team of people taking ownership of their mistakes and getting over it quickly, you know, to be successful in the next play, that's incredible. You don't have to kind of self-coach each other or, like, even, you know, your coach isn't necessarily in that mistake moment, like, having to correct you. It's like, we're already moved on. You know, I took ownership. Exactly. My team knows I'm going to take ownership. They trust me to do that. And it's like, let's move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And I think that that exhibits a great level of one, humility of just, yeah, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to sure as heck try to be better.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue to work hard, continue to control the things I can, continue to practice that particular thing, you know, after practice or, you know, off the field. But it also shows a maturity. And I think we live in a culture where ownership is very much lost. There's just, and you see this with kids, you see this with adults, you see this with, we always want to put the blame on someone else.
Yeah.
Or not step up and just take responsibility for our actions or for the negative, or we think that our actions don't have consequences. We can just do whatever we want and there's no consequences in the greater scheme of life. And okay, maybe when you're little, there's not big consequences, but when you get older, our actions have consequences and we need to own them. We need to own who we are and what we do and what we choose to do.
Right.
And not pretend that, well, everything is just going to be glossed over.
Yeah, definitely. I think as an athlete, I think that's what that thought process kind of is what made me slow to yell or point out my teammates, you know, mistakes, because it's that verse of, you know, you're recognizing your neighbor's splinter in the eye when there's a log in yours. You know, nobody's perfect. Like there are, you know, small or big mistakes in the whole game, but just kind of having that humility, does sport not humble us? I mean, I'm sure everybody's had that game that it's just not embarrassing, but you're just performance.
And it's on public display.
Yeah, just not where you want it to be, you know? So the humility to even own that. Like own that, you know, it wasn't my day today. Oh, and yeah.
Own the fact that you had a bad day, because when you get up and you respond well to that and take ownership of it, it looks a heck of a lot better than when you get up and you're hanging your head or you're cursing, or it means more internally and externally. I feel like it makes a bigger difference when you respond that way, in a way that you take ownership versus if you don't take ownership. It says something about you as a person.
Absolutely. It's kind of that thought process of, I don't know, some of the coaches I've had over the years, we were never obviously excited about a loss. Like you don't hope for a loss when you step on the field, but just recognizing that sometimes, you know, that loss is more motivating to you. And in the long term, potentially, you know, causes more growth because it's motivating, you know? So if you can take that loss humbly and learn and grow from that, I think that does, you know, take the maturity, the ownership of what we're talking about.
So what about if you don't have the ability to take ownership, like in terms of if you don't have that, how can you get it? And what are the consequences of you if you don't have it?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing, I think it's important to make the distinction between failing and I'm a failure. Because ownership is about owning your actions, but maintaining your identity. Meaning if you miss a game winning PK, or that's a penalty kick in soccer, right? You miss it. Okay. If it becomes, I'm a failure, I'm an embarrassment, you know, I don't deserve to be on this team, those are things against your personhood. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's against your identity as a daughter of God. And that is not right. That is not proper ownership. That is false ownership. And that makes us fear taking responsibility and ownership. On the other hand, you miss the game-winning PK and you own that. Like, I missed that shot. You did something, but it doesn't affect who you are. And that gives us then this freedom to fail. You did something, so you're going to go back and before the next practice, you're going to take 100 PK shots, right? You're going to own that action. Of course, the soccer players listening are like, oh my gosh, that's my worst nightmare, right? But for me, you know, it's a good example. But it can be a lot smaller than that. It can be missing a shot. It can be striking out, you know, four times in a game. It can be whatever the action is. But again, owning the action and then not letting that affect you internally. I think just knowing that there's a distinction there gives us that freedom to fail, to learn from our mistakes, to go for it, and to then to own the consequences of those. And good and bad consequences. Consequences sound so negative, but the good and bad results, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, learning from, you know, that small failure, like accepting it humbly, you know, taking ownership of that, keeping it separate from, you know, tied up into our identity, but then just going back, doing those, you know, the work. If you struck out, like, take some more cuts at practice, but then getting back in the box, or, you know, taking that next shot with just full confidence of who you are, because you did the work, you know, you took ownership of the experience of maybe that small failure, but then you did the work and you're going to trust in your ability and and the practice you put into it.
Mm-hmm. I think another thing to realize too is just owning your role. Mm-hmm. So
that's huge.
You know, you're on a team. You're not always going to start. You're not always going to be, you know, the number one hitter. You're not always going to be the fastest kid, but you're on that team for a reason. And I think you see such a difference in the kid or the person who is hanging their head when they don't start, complaining under their breath, not trying because they're mad, versus the kid who just owns the fact that they have a role on the team, that they're going to work their hardest to get better, to challenge the person ahead of them, to make them better.
Yeah.
But also owning the fact that this is the reality. Yeah. Right now, I'm just not good enough, or something the coach thinks, or I need to get better at this. Instead of blaming, oh, my coach hates me, you know, blaming other people in that instance, own what you can control.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is definitely important for those that maybe are suffering from an injury or something that's taking them out of the game. I think that knowing that certain things are out of your control in terms of your injury, but how you're responding to that and taking ownership of that role on your team and the example that it sets for others as well.
Yeah.
And also the immense gift sometimes it is to be in a different role. Mm-hmm. And
good point.
Yeah.
I mean, 'cause we all want to give the gift in, like my gift is I play shortstop and I'm good at it, but maybe you're called to give a different gift of who you are.
Yes.
In that instance. That's a really good point.
Yeah. I know for me, so I, when I was in college, so I was a recruited rower. I was super pumped and I had this expectation of what my role on my team was going to be for 4 years. And that vastly changed in an instant. And that really, really, it pretty much had an effect on my identity in terms of I got diagnosed with a heart condition and I was taken out of being a rower. And I actually took on the role of being a coxswain. And for those of you that don't know what a coxswain is, it is, it's basically a mini coach. And they're in the boat and they're steering, they're giving direction, and they're not physically exerting themselves. That was such a life-changing experience for me. I completely had to change my approach, ways that I learned, communication skills, and I could have taken that situation and left the team. But in terms of looking at my teammates and seeing that they needed me to be in this role, it completely changed my mentality in terms of taking ownership of that role and making sure that I did my best at it.
Yeah. And the gifts that you were being asked to give, you know, you didn't have the physical like paddle in your hand. You weren't, body wasn't doing the strokes. That's definitely a different gift. You were being called to give something of yourself that was different. That's kind of a hard pivot, I'm sure, to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just those of you that are suffering with injury or any type of setback or retirement or transitioning out of sport, no matter what your role is, you make a difference, no matter what it is. And your role matters. Your ability to show up matters. Mm-hmm. So just know that if you're feeling insignificant or just struggling to be present at practice or in your workplace or anything like that, if you're out of sport now, just really, really know that you're there and you're meant to be there, mm-hmm. and to just take that step and go there for your teammates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't discount your, even just your physical presence.
Oh yeah. That makes a huge difference for people.
Yeah. I think we've talked a little bit about, thank you for sharing. That was, I mean, it's one of my favorite parts about you is just how you have reacted to that change and how God is now giving you back rowing, which is a miracle and a gift. But I think you're a better rower now because you've coxed. Yeah. You yell at me in the boat and then tell me what to do. So it's perfect. But that's such a beautiful example of owning the physical, owning the mental, owning your role. And I think that translates for all of us into owning the spiritual.
Oh yeah.
Right. Because I mean, the ultimate thing in life that we have to own is our destiny, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we all will die and we all will either go to heaven or hell. I mean, purgatory and then heaven or hell. And I think so many people say don't want to look at that and don't want to own that. But the reality is whether you want to own it or not,
it exists.
Yes. And because we're fearful of failure, or we don't want to change, or we're stubborn, we won't take responsibility for our actions. We like to not think about it, or we like to assume that we're all good. But there is a real sense of we have to own our spiritual journey. We have to own our faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of just back to sacraments, right? Like for those maybe who are baptized, I'm a cradle Catholic. So my parents made the decision to baptize me as I think a month old, you know, so I didn't at that point claim my faith as my own, but it's kind of that transition from, you know, the choice was, I'm so thankful that faith was passed on to me in that way. And that decision was made for me, but your confirmation, I was confirmed. And at that point in my life, I kind of had to take that up upon my own shoulders and realize my parents are no longer responsible for my journey to heaven. Mm. I have to shoulder that. It is my responsibility. It is my journey to navigate, to do the work it takes, you know, to grow in our spiritual life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think on the other end of the spectrum, right. We talked about this with taking ownership in our sport, but when we look at the hurdles that we have to overcome in life, right. The temptations of the world, sin, it's important to distinguish our identity from our actions.
Yes.
You know, this is similar to missing the PK. Oh, you know, when we sin, say we lie. If there was the result of that in our own minds, it becomes, I'm a liar. That's not right. Right. That is against your personhood. That's against your identity as a daughter of God. You are a daughter of God who lied.
Yes. Very different.
Different than I am a liar, right? And so when you hear those accusations in your mind, that is not of God, that's of the devil, who is the chief of liars. But if it's, well, I'm a sinner, even that, we say that all the time, like, I'm a sinner, and it's like, okay, there is a reality there, but like, no, you're that's not your identity. Your identity is you're a daughter of God. That being said, once we make that distinction.
There you go.
There we go. Got it. Once we make that distinction, we need to own our actions.
Yeah.
We need to own our sins.
It's almost like once we're able to make that distinction in the correct way, what are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it?
Go to confession, man.
Go to confession, man. Everybody else like, oh.
Yeah.
One of the greatest gifts that the church has given us is confession. For those of you who are Catholic, it can give you a knee-jerk reaction. You get nervous, but just like when you properly own something in sport and work to change it, and then you overcome it. I mean, it's the same with sin. The reality is we all sin. You've sinned. And God, knowing one, that we need grace, but two, just knowing human psychology, has given us this gift of confession where, okay, it's not just a priest sitting there. It's really him.
Yeah.
who's there for us to share the ways that we have failed, to own that, but then to like get rid of it and be forgiven of it. And when we truly own something and we admit it, the response is forgiveness and freedom.
Yeah. I have my spiritual director, every time I go to confession, or if I know he's in the confessional, I know one of the, he'll give me a penance, obviously, but one of the penances he gives me usually is two options. You can go get yourself an ice cream cone, or you can do three cartwheels in the grass when you come out. Because it's cause for celebration, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because you overcame something and you took ownership of something and you brought it to the Lord. And that's also, Jesus put himself on the cross, like, for our sins. Like, he died for us and our sin. Mm-hmm. So in terms of, that's cause like for celebration when Absolutely. You take that step forward and to be able to do that and take ownership of that, because that's a step in the right direction.
Sure.
Yeah.
I love it. It's cause for celebration.
Yes.
Good. Well, as we wrap up, we'd love to give you our verse and our takeaway. And the verse that we actually want you to read, we're not going to read it for you because it's very long. It's a parable, and it's from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Again, we'll put this in the show notes, but it's the story of the prodigal son. And the reason we chose this is because I think you see different people within this story taking ownership of their actions. Or being challenged to take ownership of their actions.
Being challenged.
You know, you obviously see the younger son turning back and taking ownership of what he did and going back to the father and asking for forgiveness. Even feeling unworthy and the father correcting him and actually forgiving him. And then you see the older son, right, who's accusatory towards his younger brother. And the father then correcting and asking him to take ownership of the fact that all he has is his. And that he needs to be, you know, really more merciful. And so it's a parable you've all heard before, but I ask you that you would just read it with a new eyes, with a new perspective, and ask the Lord as you read it, how are you showing me in my life? Which son am I, or which character am I, and how am I being called to take deeper ownership?
And talk about the celebration that Antonina spoke of, like the father, you know, I hope that you listeners, and if you're watching us on YouTube, like you read that parable with just an open heart to receive the father's love. Because there's so much love, you know, as much apprehension as we can sometimes feel, you know, going into the confessional, or, you know, because maybe we're not fully taking ownership, we're embarrassed, or, you know, whatever emotion is kind of tied to that. But just know the deep love, you know, at every moment of your life, whether, you know, you just popped out of the confessional and you just want to do a bunch of cartwheels in the parking lot. Know the Father's deep love for you. And we're praying for you.
Yeah.
All right. So this week, our takeaway is to do two things. First is to do an examination of conscience this week and get to confession and know that we're going to do it with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, for those of you who don't necessarily know what an examination of conscience is, we will put that in the show notes. It's just a walk through the Ten Commandments, a walk through our lives, and a really good exercise of self-reflection. The church actually encourages you to do it nightly. But it's a good recognition of, okay, where are the ways that I've fallen, but also what are the ways that God has blessed me? And I think if you're Catholic, you're a Christian, you're a non-Christian, that is something that can be extremely beneficial, extremely good. Now, if you are a Catholic, we would encourage you to go to confession. You know, that's something I try to do every 2 weeks. And you're like, you're crazy, but I really feel it. It's like, you know, you need a nice bath. I like to compare confession to an ice bath. Like after you have a hard workout, after you've had a hard week, you know, you get the ice bath and your muscles feel ready. They feel ready to perform again. And sin just creates a gunk, even the little sins in our lives. And so that is a great way to just reset. But, you know, I think once a month is a really good goal for people. Then obviously if there's something bigger that you're struggling with, I mean, you could go daily. Now don't become overly scrupulous, but it is there as a gift. If you're not a Catholic, again, you're more than welcome to go talk to a priest. And they can't administer that sacrament to you, but they can give you great advice. But really, I think that self-reflection, that examination of conscience will really help with that self-awareness and that ownership of sin, especially the things that you're silently struggling with, so that you can move out of the darkness into the light of the Lord and his forgiveness. Great. Well, what a fun episode. What a great week. We thank you for taking the ownership of and making the choice to listen to this podcast. We ask that you would just continue to join us on this journey in these ways that we can grow in our it factor. You know, give this podcast to a friend. Leave us a review wherever you're listening. And we ask that, you would prayerfully consider taking ownership of your financial resources and giving us a gift to help keep this podcast alive and going. You can find out how to do that at fierceathlete.org/donate. But until next time, know of our prayers for you. And know that we will be in solidarity, seeking the sacrament of confession ourselves and praying with Luke chapter 15. And know that we'll see you next time.
Play fierce.
Pray fierce.
Live fierce.